welcome to another waterlogged episode of We Only Look Thin. My name is Catherine Weigel. I am one of your hosts. I have lost about 120 pounds.
Yeah.
I am a Tiny Habit certified coach,
yeah,
a Thrive Global certified coach, and I am reporting to you from sort of an ocean of water, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But with me, high and dry, today is
Donald Weigel. My humor is dry. My clothes are dry. Everything is dry about me. My wit is dry. And I have lost about 100 pounds. And I am here to talk about it. Right before we started recording.
Oh, you're going to talk about it?
You don't want to talk about it? Well, no, we got to tell people why it's a waterlogged episode.
Because
that's going to just seem weird if we just leave
someone...
it.
Here's the riddle.
And no one will know why I was laughing so hard.
How can someone swim in a couch?
Yeah.
Who can do that?
Apparently, right before we, I was just about to hit the record button and Catherine dumped a, pretty large glass of water.
Ice water.
All over herself.
Yeah. And guess what? Did I change? No.
No,
did I?
The clothes stayed the same. In fact, I think you're still sitting in water as we record this right now.
I am, but that's how much I care about sharing content with our fine listeners.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how wet my leggings are.
Yeah.
The couch. Who cares? Who cares about it? Water's good for you.
Well,
right?
I know I don't care because it's all on your side.
Well, it's sort of like an osmosis thing, right? Does this count?
I get wet by osmosis somehow.
No, I get hydrated.
Oh yeah, that's right. You get hydrated through your leggings.
But it's okay. If we're going to use this as a teachable moment for me.
Oh my goodness, yes. Let's do that.
So, would you ask me, Donald, if this is the first time I've spilled water on myself on the couch?
Catherine, is this the first time you spilled water on yourself on the couch like that?
You know, no one's ever asked me that before.
Really?
Mostly, you haven't asked me because I would probably glare at you if you did.
Right.
I routinely lean, because we're podcasting on the couch, and we've got the mics in front of us. I don't want to lean over to the coffee table to put down my glass. So I just kind of lean it on my side. It's like my holster.
Yeah.
I lean.
For a while, we were putting this cool little table in
between us. Yeah, it's in the other
room. We were using. We haven't been doing that lately.
So the last time it happened, I said to myself, I am a grown-up.
Right.
And moving forward, I will not lean a glass of frosty water on myself because I'm a grown-up. And grown-ups have solutions.
Grown-ups wouldn't do that. Grown-ups would not spill water all over themselves.
Donald was like, we're ready to record. And then like a child, I thought to myself, no, not yet, because I need moisturizer on my hands. So I kind of leaned over.
You got moisture all right.
I did. I leaned over to, I have this little Caboodle thing that has everything I could ever want next to my side of the couch. It's got a nail file. It's got lotion, tissues, so many fun things for old people. So I leaned
so
over,
fun.
Getting some neat, trying to stretch out my sides,
yeah,
right? And
stretching out those hammies.
And then Donald, I just heard, no. And I was like, what is his problem? I am just getting moisturized. And then basically...
Oh, you got moisturized, all right.
Titanic of water is on my posterior right now. But I put down a bunch of cloths and a bunch of things.
We're going to put down a bunch of wisdom.
And now we're going to put down wisdom. But
and
this,
advice. Yeah.
What else do we put water on that seeps into stuff?
Oh my goodness, I don't know.
This episode is about growth.
Oh yeah,
and when
we put them on plants and stuff. Yeah,
and then
I should have known that
you need to water the seeds to grow the habit plants.
Yeah,
that we have
exactly
for some reason.
That's a fantastic
so really
metaphor analogy.
I feel like spilling if I'm using my growth mindset, which is really annoying. I feel like this is the perfect fire that I needed, or what's the opposite of fire? Water, I guess. I guess this is the water I needed to remind me of the purpose of this episode that we're recording right now, Donald.
Yeah, I think that I think that really in the end, it was a good thing that you spilled water all over yourself because you've learned a valuable lesson and you've been able to work this plant analogy into the whole thing.
Exactly. So if you're playing along at home, this is part two of an undetermined number of episodes that we are doing on building your habits.
Somewhere between 3 and 47.
Yeah. Building your habits for weight loss and weight maintenance. And last week, we talked about sort of the fundamentals. I was going to make a joke about like this episode being like the Lego brick episode and the last one being the Duplo bricks, because Duplos are for babies.
Yeah, I know, I like it.
And you can't choke on them, but then like the Legos. But then I spilled water on myself, so now it was like a Watership Down episode or something.
Watership
No, that's not down. A fun. Yeah. That's not fun. But we are building upon last week's episode where we talked about the fundamentals of getting started with managing your mindset, food, movement, and ideas about the scale when you're just starting or restarting your weight loss journey venture.
Yeah, and we talked about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. In case you're not familiar, last episode, I think I said he was a psychiatrist or psychologist. I looked it up in between, and he was a psychologist who came up with a theory that it seems like a lot more than just a theory, that you have to satisfy your basic needs before you can move on to higher needs. So like your physical needs, things like, you know, clothing and food and shelter have to be satisfied before you can start worrying about like, you know, things like love and belonging. And you need those things before you can start worrying about like, you know, becoming the best version of yourself.
Right. So for me, I worried about moisturizer before I could podcast, which is a higher level need.
Right. And what you ended up doing was satisfying your need for water.
For water.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we are using the structure of sort of building upon the Maslow's hierarchy of needs in looking at our weight loss journey venture that way. So again, last week we focused on basics. We didn't talk about calories. We didn't talk about how many steps you were getting. We were just talking about adding things to your life, adding food, adding a little bit of movement, and adding clothing that fits your current body. And then we also talked about some basic mindset things to think about when you're just starting out. We're not looking at forever. We're just looking at what's in front of us. And this week, we're going to build upon that into the growing things. Now that we've watered the couch, which I guess is an important thing to do, and my leggings, we will... You're looking at me.
Yeah, you've watered the couch and your leggings, and now you're ready for the next habit in the line, which is water something, right. Which is perhaps actually drinking the water.
Right. So we wanted to break this down into four parts. Again, mindset, thinking about the scale, food, and movement. And in this series, that's the flow that we're going to go with for each of the episodes. Because depending on where you are on your journey, you might not be into tracking calories yet or understanding your, you know, total daily energy output and macros and all that stuff. So we're not going big this episode. We're going to keep it in sort of the lower range. You're just getting started. You're comfortable with adding, pumping up volume, getting in a little bit of NEAT. And now this is the next phase. And this isn't just for people who are starting out. This is for people who are resetting after time away from tracking or time away, you know, for medical emergencies or life events that have maybe thrown you off your path. So wherever you are, know that we all have setbacks and this is an opportunity to rebuild your habits when you feel like you're starting over again.
Yeah. And even though, you know, I hit my goal weight about 6 years ago, I could be in a different portion of this pyramid, you know, depending on what day it is, depending on, you know, what week it is. Like I may be at a point where I have to go back to the bottom and reset myself and start working my way back up to my, you know, habits where I'm trying to become my ideal self. And it is helpful whether you're somebody who is developing and learning and trying to grow, or whether you're somebody who like life is going to come up and you need to reset at some point,
to remember the basics and go over them again so that you are prepared and ready to go when those things happen. Whether, you know, no matter where you are on that scale, it's important to keep all of these things in mind.
Well, and two, with that, sometimes when we do have big setbacks, we've had a lot of progress and then we fall back into old habits, maybe you've gained some weight, we can think that we've got to go back to that perfect version of ourselves.
Oh, again. Yeah.
And we're telling you that it is totally okay to go back to the fundamentals again and build up your stamina. You might actually spend a very small amount of time on these habits to get your foundation and then go on and move faster toward where you were before. We're never starting completely again from scratch. We've learned things before and we can use those, but starting back with those fundamentals, it's super fun. It's super fun to know that we can always return to them.
We put the fun back in fundamentals.
We do. So just like we did on the last episode, we are going to start out with some mindset. So some things that you should be thinking about now are things like, can I make this part of my lifestyle? We're not asking you to totally revamp everything, empty the kitchen out, start everything fresh, join a new gym. We're just asking you to pay attention to the season that you're in and what you can actually ask of yourself.
Yeah. And it's, you know, this is the part where you start saying to yourself, well, is this thing, whatever it is, this food plan, this exercise, is this something that I can actually make part of my lifestyle? Or am I asking too much of myself? Or even am I asking too little of myself at this point? Like, is this something that I can really, you know, make a part of my regular routine and my life moving forward?
So often we get stuck in that all or nothing. I'm either not tracking anything, not getting in any activity, and then we go to those extreme, you know, intensity 30-day blowout whatevers, and they lead to that pattern of yo-yo on again, off again plans. And what we're asking you to do is to start where you are, like Donald said, and really live in the season that you're in. If we, and this goes for everyone and every single habit, once you stop doing the thing that you're doing, you'll go back and you go back to old habits, you regain weight.
Yeah. And, you know, this is that idea, that classic idea that you're going to go on a diet for a while and you go on the diet. And then when you go off the diet, the weight comes back. And I don't think that that idea, like, I mean, it seems in hindsight like it should be obvious, but that idea didn't really take hold with me for a very long time. Like I kept over and over like going on a diet, and then I would stop the diet and go back to just eating, you know, the way I used to eat, and the weight would come back on. And it never really stuck with me that I had to figure out a way to do, you know, to eat in a sustainable fashion so that I could keep the weight off.
Exactly. And again, it's not all or nothing. It's not the perfect day, ideal day, every single day. We can live in our actual lives and not put everything on hold and still make progress. And part of that and is really like living into that idea that we're never going to be our ideal selves every day. Sure, we all have days that feel effortless and great, and we feel like everything's on track, but that is not the norm. That is like an outlier. It happens sometimes.
Right.
It's great when it happens, but most of the time, like, putting in effort matters. So don't worry about ideals and perfect circumstances. Do what you can with what you have, and like, expect real life to happen.
Yeah. You know, things are going to have, people are going to come to visit. You will get sick. You will get injured. I mean, I'm not wishing any of those things on you, but it's going to happen. Like, you're going to get thrown off by the unexpected, and real life will happen. And this is where you really start to like think about, okay, when those things happen, how am I going to react? What am I going to do? And you start planning for those things.
Well, and it's not that, see, something got in my way. This is proof that I'm just not meant for, you know, taking care of myself. Something gets in my way. It's just normal life. And it's when we push past that discomfort of things not going our way, that's where real change comes in. It's not about the perfect circumstances all the time. It's about adapting and pivoting and making things work with what you have.
Absolutely. So moving on to your relationship with stepping on the scale and weighing yourself, the scale is a small part of this, but it is where you get a data point. So we would recommend that you at least get on one time at this phase to figure out where you are. And you may not want to, but we both wish we had taken full body photos 100%. Of ourselves when we were at our heaviest weight so that we had that reference moving forward. And a nice baseline, like I think that, you know, we've done episodes about relationships with a scale, and it can be very difficult for people to go between not wanting to get on the scale at all and then wanting to weigh themselves multiple times a day. Like, try finding somewhere in the middle where you just get on the scale once per week, and you do that at the same time of day, and you just use that information as a baseline, because you have to remember that even a tenth of a pound is progress, and it is, you know, or really just staying the same is a victory. It's about trends over time. You know, as I was, you know, losing my 100 pounds, it wasn't a linear thing where I just, like, every time I stepped on a scale, I had lost a little bit more. I stayed the same for multiple weeks, and then occasionally I would have like a nice whoosh where I would lose 2 or 3 pounds, and then I would stay the same again, or maybe I would just lose a tiny bit. Or there were even some weeks like I went up as I was doing this, and it was more of a jigsaw pattern on a scale than a straight, like, pyramid, you know, as we're talking about Maslow's pyramid. A straight pyramid down as I went.
Well, 100%. And getting over the idea that it is a perfect math of like, well, I'm doing this and it's 1 pound a week and then I'll hit my goal weight by X amount. We're not asking you to do that. We're asking you to step back and really just use it as data and remember that sometimes fair things will happen, like the scale will show what your efforts.
Right.
And other times, you've been a prince or a princess or a duke, whatever, whatever you're
a lady, a lord, a baron.
But sometimes you'll be great, and the scale will show your efforts. Other times, you'll overeat, and the scale will still show you lost, and it won't, like, it's like blowing a red light and not getting a ticket. You got away with it. The scale doesn't show our efforts in a perfect way. So don't worry about gains or small losses along the way. It's trends over time.
Yeah. And I know that we're calling this the scale section and not the mindset section, but part of this stepping on the scale and looking at your weight is remembering from a mindset standpoint that this isn't a sprint. It's a long-term process to hit your goal weight and stay there. You know, I see all the time on Reddit, and people come to us and they're just like, I'm just not losing weight fast enough. I need to lose it faster. And, you know, I know that it's really difficult. I've been there. I understand it. But it is much more important that you lose it in a slow, sustainable way than you drop the weight quickly and then you don't know what to do with yourself because you've done some radical, you know, you've taken some pill or you've done some radical, like, restrictive diet that you can't stick to. It's much more important that you think about the long-term goal of doing it in a slow and sustainable fashion. Like, slow and sustainable really does win the race, or slow and steady, like the tortoise and the hare thing.
Well, and one big part of this scale section is that in the past, we used to have these giant goals. Okay, yeah. Well, I need to lose 140 pounds. Like, that is so huge and so beyond my scope of, like, I've never been that weight. How could I even imagine getting there?
Right.
It can be super daunting. Something that we focused on, something that I focused on, was looking 5 pounds at a time down the scale. That is something that Weight Watchers actually shared, which really helped me when I started this, is they look at, hey, let's look at a 5% goal. Let's look at a 10% goal. Something small is more attainable and happens sooner than some, you know, like, well, if I'm just on track for 20 months, then I'll hit my, like,
right.
Who knows what's going to happen in 20 months?
Yeah. Putting a date on the scale, on the calendar, For when you're going to hit your goal weight, it is one of the worst mindset things you can do, because if you don't get there, it becomes so discouraging. And suddenly you're looking like, well, if I lose like 2 pounds a week, then I'll hit my goal weight by this point. And then 1 week you gain a pound, and then you're like, okay, well now I'll lose 2.25 pounds a week. And then suddenly you're like trying to lose 5 pounds a week. And it's just, it doesn't make any sense from a realistic, practical standpoint to try and, you know, set yourself goals that are so hard to reach.
Right. We're looking at cultivating a lifestyle, not a specific final number on the scale right now. So scale it back. Look at maybe 5 pounds.
Scale it back. I see what you did.
I didn't
there.
Actually do that on
yeah,
purpose.
Yeah, sure you didn't.
But we're not racing to some finish line. We'll talk about that another time.
Yeah. And, you know, one last thing in this section is to, Catherine has talked about this before, is like asking yourself, what if I didn't quit this time? And you need to figure out a way to push past your discomfort of not getting the results you want every yeah. time. I used to, I don't know how many times I would spend, like I would go on some plan or I would decide I was going to go on a diet and things would go the way I wanted them to for 2, 3, 4 weeks. And then the second I stepped on the scale and I didn't get the results I wanted, I would just give up. I'd be like, well, what's the point of doing all this work if I'm not going to like lose weight every week? And just pushing past that discomfort and again, looking towards the long term and figuring out the trends over time and being consistent is really one of the keys to pushing past and getting through and hitting a goal weight eventually.
Exactly. For me, I usually get to a 6 week point
yeah.
of weight loss. Oh my gosh, I'm fixed. I'm a new person. And then week six, I gain weight. And it's happened so many times.
Right.
I quit Weight Watchers, 20 times? And gained 100 pounds because I was mad about gaining 1 pound 1 week.
Yeah.
So this time I did that. I was like, it's going to get uncomfortable. And what happens if I just push past that? So thank you very much, Donald, for making that fantastic point.
Well, you are welcome. So what do we have next, dear?
My favorite F word, food.
It's in my top five.
Yeah. The next is fiduciary. I don't know.
That's right. We're going to rank our F words in the next episode.
Yikes. Okay, so now we're going to talk about food. The last time we talked about just pumping up the volume.
Pump up the volume. Oh boy, after 6 years of this, we still can't do it.
Yeah, I don't think we have the voice for that in particular, but we still do it anyway because it's yeah. fun. But we talked last week about pumping up the volume, and we didn't talk about tracking. And tracking is something that makes people want to turn off the podcast. They suddenly maybe get upset about thinking about it. Maybe you've had experiences in the past. It seems overwhelming. You don't want to do it. We are going to ask you in this episode not to track calories. If you already know how to track calories and you're comfortable with it, super duper, do that.
Yeah.
Like if you're going ahead, that's perfect. But if you are reluctant to track calories, we have a few suggestions for you of what you can do to get yourself in the mindset of paying attention to the actual food that you're
eating.
Before
you do that, I just want to interject quickly. Like I know for some people, tracking calories is very easy. For other people, though, it's like kryptonite for them. And I just to relate to people who find it easy, there are people for whom folding your laundry is very easy and not a problem. For others, folding laundry and putting it away is like the worst part of the job and they can't get themselves to do it. Or for some people, you know, vacuuming is easy and for others, they just can't get themselves to do it. So this is one of those things that for a lot of people, actually tracking calories is a real issue. And so we're trying to give people some basics to kind of get them a little bit more willing to give it a try without actually having to go all the way in.
Right. So we'll talk more about actual calories next week. But in this episode, I'm going to ask you to track just what you're eating. And this can be as simple as in the olden days, there was something called paper that people would write on.
I've heard of paper. Yeah.
Start writing down what you're eating. For breakfast, I had eggs and bacon and some banana.
Yeah.
For lunch, I had a hoagie and chips and a cookie. For like at, you know, at work, I grabbed some, you know, mini Snickers from the reception desk. I had chips in the afternoon. I had a soda. I had coffee. I had ice cream. I had takeout, whatever. Just write it down. Studies actually show that people who write down what they're eating tend to lose more weight more consistently than people who don't. And part of that is just paying attention. I can't tell you how many times I was like, well, I didn't eat all that much, but I forget the extra roll, like the bread basket right. that I ate and the pats of butter and the, like, you know, the side servings of things that I didn't realize. I thought I just ate like a normal person. But then writing it down, I was like, oh, today I had 3 bags of chips, 2 candy bars, croissant, hot chocolate. Like,
right.
That's not great.
Right. And it just keeps adding up and adding up. And, you know, if writing it down becomes too much for you, try starting by just taking a picture of everything you're eating. Just get in the habit of like, okay, I'm going to log it in air quotes by taking a picture of it. And then it would be really great if you could take that to the next step. And like at the end of the day, go back and look at your photographs and really kind of think about what you've had for the day, put them in a folder and at least become a little more mindful of what you're eating in a day and how much. Because I, you know, for years and years, I sort of fooled myself and think, well, I'm not eating that much. But then when I really started tracking calories regularly, I realized it was, you know, it was many thousands where I thought, oh, well, I'm not eating more than, you know, 2,000 a day. And it was like 4,000 or 5,000 on a lot of days.
Right. So taking pictures can really help. That's something that I do. Writing it down really helps. And there's also an app called ATE, which is an app that reminds you to take photos of your meals. And it's a good place to sort of keep it all consolidated if that's something that you want to do. Something that I haven't done, but I know other plans suggest, is pre-deciding what you're going to eat in a day. If tracking is hard for you, just in the morning or the night before, saying, tomorrow I'm going to get McDonald's takeout and I'm going to get a McBiscuit and an orange juice. For lunch, we're going to go out for sushi. For dinner, I'm going to have pizza and salad and an ice cream bar or something like that. There are studies that also show that pre-planning and pre-deciding what you're going to eat
yeah.
and sticking to it is helpful in weight loss because you're not eating things spur of the moment. If you know, hey, I'm going to have a snack at 10 a.m., plan for that snack. Predict it. Don't try to avoid it. Just write it down before you do it and then follow your plan throughout the day. Again, that's not something that we've done, but when you're making decisions before you're starving, you're going to make a better decision than when you go into lunch or, you know, the break room and just randomly grab whatever sounds interesting.
Well, look, I hate to disagree with you, but I do that almost every day. Like, I pre-decide what I'm eating for the day almost always every morning, like before I figure out what I'm having for lunch, what my afternoon snacks are, what my dinner is. Like, I do that almost every day. Now, I might vary slightly off of my original plan, but always sort of keeping in mind, like, well, I'm going to have this many. I know we said we weren't going to talk about calories, but I'm going to have this many calories at, you know, for this meal. Maybe I'll switch out a little bit, but generally speaking, I pre-decide for the day before I start eating anything.
Well, and keeping things simple at this stage of having a few go-to breakfasts and lunches at work or even on weekends, having certain things that you go to that are simple makes it easier to like not get caught up in that decision fatigue. For us, I like simplicity and I like predictability, but know what works for you. You might have one weekday plan and another plan for the weekend. We eat a lot differently on the weekend sometimes. So just get in the habit of paying attention, because when you, it's almost like, again, budgeting. when you look at your bank account, it's like, well, where did all the money go? I didn't buy all that much at Target. Right. I just went to get paper towels.
Exactly.
And then there's like, oh, yeah, I bought 20 things from the dollar bin that were also $5. I thought it was a dollar bin. And then all of these little knickknacks, we do that with food, too. Oh, that looks good. Oh, I'm eating off of my child's plate. I used to do so much mindless grazing while making food for our daughter. You know, snacking while talking to people in the break room. All of these little things add up, and we don't notice we're eating them, and so we are still hungry.
Right.
Because we're like, did I even eat anything? I don't know. When you start paying attention and seeing, like, Donald used to have, like, a six-pack of Coke a day.
Oh, at least a six-pack, yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, yeah, regular full-calorie Coke, yeah.
A lot of calories. So just write it down and pay some attention. It is a great building block to getting into working on a calorie deficit. Because in the end, and this is sort of maybe the end of the food part, is don't confuse eating healthy food with a calorie deficit. Just because you're eating nuts and whole grains and avocado and
right,
whatever.
Exactly.
There are a lot of really empirically healthy foods with many, good benefits that are very dense in calories. And if we just say, like, well, I just had a bag of nuts today, like, nuts are full of antioxidants.
Right.
Suddenly it's a 3,000, calorie bag of nuts that your body doesn't recognize health with calories.
Yeah, like just because a food is healthy does not mean it's low calorie. And this was, years ago, I made this mistake in the form of usually breakfast. Like, I was eating like a bowl of oatmeal with brown sugar because I thought brown sugar was healthy, and, or raisins. And then I would have like whole grain toast and a glass of orange juice. And, it's not that any of those things are unhealthy, but that is a lot of calories to start off the day at the portions at which I was eating them. Not saying you can't add those foods in, but just don't confuse healthy. Don't confuse nut butter for low calorie.
Right. Just because, it came directly from the earth and it only has two ingredients in it or whatever, it still has a caloric impact. So really watch out for that as well, because there are lots of hidden calories in super calorie dense foods. So just watch out.
Okay. So moving on to movement, the final section of this episode, this is the time when you're ready to level up. This is the time when you want to add some sort of purposeful movement to your life. And the idea that we always tell people is to try and find something that you find pleasant. Or if there's no movement that you find pleasant, at least try and find something that is not unpleasant to you. And now this could be a destination walk. This could be a 10-minute walk at lunch. This could be, playing frisbee with your child on the weekend. This could be like before dinner every night, you and your kids have a 5-minute dance party, before dinner. You drop your child at ballet or something, and instead of just sitting there and waiting, you decide to walk around and listen to your favorite podcast like ours or an audiobook or something, instead of sitting and waiting. This is when, the important part of this, though, is that you are actually adding this movement to your life on purpose. You're planning it, you're figuring out when it's going to happen, and you're making it happen. It could be 2 minutes. It could be 1 minute, 5, 10 minutes. It doesn't have to be a grueling, hour long, HIIT workout at the gym or a 45 minute Peloton ride or something like that. Find something that you find pleasant, that you don't dislike, but add it purposefully to your day and to your week.
And really, and I know we said this in the last episode too, really watch out for saying things like, this isn't enough. This isn't real exercise.
Yeah.
Like, what is 5 minutes going to do? What is 10 minutes going to do? Because we've heard so many stories over the years that have been debunked about 30 minutes of exercise exactly is how much you need each day. If you walk 29 minutes, it counts.
Right.
If, like, every minute of that 30 minutes counts. And
we've done some episodes about, like, you know, they say 10,000 steps, like, but that's not, there's nothing magical about 10,000 steps. Like, if you're currently doing 1,000 and then you bump that up to 1,500 a day, and then you bump that up to 2,000 a day, like, you are improving your calorie burn and improving your fitness on a regular basis at that point.
Exactly. And I think seeing that purposeful movement is not about sweating out the calories,
right,
and earning, you know, the ability to eat food. There are so many psychological benefits from just getting in activity, taking a break, getting outside, seeing some sunshine, really making that a part of your habit. You can spare 5 minutes. You can spare 5 minutes twice a day. It doesn't have to be the perfect ideal, well, I need, you know, to buy, you know, new workout clothes or whatever. It can just be adding a little bit of consistent activity in your lifestyle, because that's who, and I know we haven't really talked about identity yet, but we're becoming the kind of people who pay attention to what we're eating.
Yeah.
We're becoming the kind of people who make small daily investments in our health, not for a magic number on the scale, but because we care about our bodies, we care about our mobility, and we care about feeling good and, you know, better than we have before. When I was 41, just starting this gym venture, I felt like I was 80. Like, I right. was exhausted.
Oh my goodness, me too.
I was like, what am I going to be like in 10 years if this is how I feel today? And now, I don't know how old I am now. I was going to say 10 years hence, but it hasn't been 10 years. But it just sounds dramatic. I like saying hence. All these years later, I feel more energetic than I did 9 years ago. And it's not with giant HIIT workouts. It's not with super intense goals. It's just daily activity that builds over time. And in the last episode, we read a review from McBabe.
Yeah.
And McBabe talked about going from 1,000 steps to 4,000 steps. And it wasn't sort of that, like, oh my gosh, you know, I've got to suddenly, you know, run a marathon. It was just get moving a little bit and know that every single part matters. So if you're in the last episode, if you started doing neat, just moving around your house, doing stuff.
Yeah.
And now you're getting in five minutes, 10 minutes of, like, a walk when you get home from work, or walk with somebody's dog. You found it. You steal a dog and you get a dog and you take it for a walk.
My goodness, you and the dog stealing.
Freebieing around.
Yeah.
Frisbee. Frisbee.
Yeah.
There we go.
Frisbee, hula hoop, all of those, like, cool,
pogo
fun
sticks.
Yeah, pogo sticks.
Dance
everything
parties.
Everything the kids these days love.
But we're building a foundation of becoming the kind of person that we want to be. It isn't magic. It doesn't happen overnight. But if we see this as a plan that we can follow that isn't too overwhelming, we're much more likely to stick with it than some extreme plan that is not sustainable with our lifestyle.
And if you are well on your way, if you're pretty high up the pyramid, and you feel like you're invincible and that, you know, you're never going to stop, and then real life comes up and gets in the way, you can always go back and just do the basics. Like, keep your habits going by adding these 10 minutes, these 10-minute walks, these dance parties, these frisbee hula hoop dance
parties. Man, you sound like
with
a
your
go,
kids.
Like a fun person.
I know, I sound
and dancing
fun. I'm
and
so
frisbee.
Not fun.
Sound like fun, active.
I don't I'm not fun at all.
We're fun
Fundamental. Yeah. We put the fun in fundamental, but yeah, that's about it.
But just think about it. There are so many, and you might fall into multiple categories right now. Like you said, you might be like, hey, I'm already doing the gym workout. I feel great about that. But the tracking is like impossible for me.
Yeah.
So yay for the stuff that you're already doing. Build upon that, because an actual weight loss comes from eating at a deficit, which we'll talk more about in the next episode. Movement is great. Pumping up the volume is great. Working on your mindset is amazing. And really starting to pay attention to the food that you're eating. We're not putting value judgments on the food that we're eating. We're just writing down what we're eating, paying attention to it, so that we can use that in the future to set the stage for tracking.
And then we're going to put lots of value judgments on things.
No, no, we're not.
No, we're not. We're not going to do that. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully you have put a good value judgment on this episode. I don't know if I should throw that out there or not. But if you enjoyed this episode, all of our episodes are available. Actually, the most recent 300 are available. Man, I'm going to get that right eventually. On all of the major podcast platforms, wherever you found this one, and every single one is available if you go to our website at weonlylookthin.com.
Yep, and if you are at weonlylookthin.com, click on that link for join our support group to find out more about Wolt Place. We Only Look Thin Place is our Facebook-based accountability group for women. We are not a weight loss plan. We have people doing lots of different plans: intermittent fasting, Weight Watcher, calorie tracking, intuitive eating. But we are a place for accountability, check-ins, and fellowship with people who are going through so much mindset work that no matter the plan that you're doing, it all kind of comes together. The calories and the foods that you're eating aren't as important as the mindset around it. And being surrounded by people who get you really does matter. And it really helps me. I do weekly Zoom meetings, daily check-ins, and we have lots of subgroups for other interests as well. So check us out. We have two subscription options: a monthly subscription with a 3-day complimentary trial and a 3-month subscription with a 7-day complimentary trial to see if Wolt Place is right for you.
Yes, indeed. So check it out. Have we called an episode Fellowship of the Wolt yet, about fellowship and
I think we've talked
accountability
about
and support?
Fellowship of the Onion Ring.
Oh, yeah, we did do Fellowship of the Onion Ring. Yeah,
something like that.
Oh, well, maybe that's a future episode you have to look forward to. But in the meantime, if you'd like to interact with us in other ways, you can find us on social media. We are on Facebook and Instagram at We Only Look Thin. Or you can interact with us via email. If you have a suggestion for an episode, if you have a question, we have turned many listener emails with questions and episode suggestions into actual episodes of the show. We can also answer your questions there. Or if you just want to reach out and say hi, send us a compliment. We really enjoy hearing from you. And you can do that at weonlylookthin@gmail.com.
Yep. And if you are feeling generous, you can head over to Apple Podcast and leave us a rating and a review.
Yeah.
Not only does it let us know that what we're doing matters in your life, but it also helps boost our ratings and helps other people find our podcast when they are looking for, what did I say last week? Cool beans, fun time podcast full of fun stuff.
That was pretty close. Yeah. Full of hula hoops. If you're listening to hula hoop frisbee based dance party podcast like ours, and you leave us a review and a rating, it helps other people find the same thing.
Yep.
And another thing that helps other people find the same thing is if you just tell them about us. If you are face to face with somebody and you think that they would get something out of the show, if you're on a Zoom call with them, if you're on a phone call with them, if you just want to text everyone you know and let them know about our show, that would be helpful. Or if you are on a Reddit group or a Discord server or a Facebook group related to, in some way, to health and fitness, and you give us a shout out, it really does help people find us and help the show grow.
Yep.
So if you are trying to decide whether to drink your water or to dump it all over your leggings,
Just remember that Catherine and I are an inspiration.
The information that you hear on this podcast is for informational purposes only. The hosts are not medical professionals. You should always consult with your doctor, nurse, or other certified health professional before beginning any diet or fitness program.